Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here today, and I want to thank you for taking time out from your regular schedule and responsibilities, as well as your preparation for Christmas, so that we can spend these minutes together learning who God is. Yesterday, I posed this question: why must Jesus Christ be both God and man? Or why must Jesus Christ be both divine and human? Why? To answer this important question as concisely as possible, we turn to the Heidelberg Catechism. A catechism is simply a set of Christian doctrines or teaching laid out in a question and answer format. And the Heidelberg Catechism, written in 1563 in the place of Heidelberg, Germany, answers our question from the Bible. So by exploring the catechism and studying the Bible, we answered first why Jesus must be man. I will not repeat what was said, but please be sure and get the God Is podcast and get caught up if you were not with us last time. The podcast can be found at the website godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Check that out this weekend and tell others about it. Now let's move down to the next Q&A in the Heidelberg Catechism so that we can concisely answer the other half of our question. Why must Jesus be God? We have established why he must be man, and now why Jesus Christ simultaneously must be God. Why is Jesus the God-man? I'm quoting now from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 17. Question: why must Christ the Mediator also be true God? Answer: so that Christ the Mediator, by the power of his divinity, might bear the weight of God's wrath in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. Let me see if I can help us to understand what is being said here. And I will begin by reading to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As you know, if you listen to God Is, I love this verse, and I have taught it already many times. So today I am only going to say that for those of us who are Christians, God gave Christ our sin, and God gave us Christ's righteousness. I'll say that again. For those of us who are Christians, God gave Christ our sin, and God gave us Christ's righteousness. That's why the Catechism correctly reflects Christ earns for us and restores to us righteousness and life. I do not have any righteousness within me apart from Christ, and neither do you. Anyone who is truly righteous is only righteous because Jesus has given us his righteousness. And God imputes Christ's righteousness to us when we believe by faith alone in Christ alone. That's first. Second, we have to talk about this word wrath. I acknowledge this is not popular. It is not just that the wrath of God is unpopular with the world or people who are not Christians. God being the God of wrath certainly is not popular there. But sadly, the wrath of Holy God is hardly mentioned and ranks as one of the most unpopular teaching or doctrines among Christians and in the churches. Well, on this broadcast and podcast, we are not concerned with what is unpopular. We are concerned with what is biblical, right, and true about God. And friends, you must know this about God. He has wrath? What is God's wrath? The Bible says that God's wrath is his holy and righteous anger against sin. Let me also repeat this. The Bible says that God's wrath is his holy and righteous anger against sin. God hates sin, and his wrath means that God must punish sin. Does God have anger against sinners? Yes. Listen to Psalm 7, verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, verse 11. We love to quote John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But we must also quote John 3:36, same chapter. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." God's love and God's wrath are compatible. Is God going to take out his anger, his holy and righteous wrath against sinners? Yes, he is. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Romans 1, 18. And much, much more must be said about this, but here is what I am emphasizing today. Because God is love, and because God is gracious, God sent forth his Son, Jesus. And as the Catechism rightfully says, by the power of his divinity, Christ bore the weight of God's wrath. On his cross, Christ died. Christ sacrificed his own life, bearing the full weight and unspeakable torment as the wrath of God was poured out on him for the sins of everyone who believes in Christ and accepts his atonement for our sin. Friends, Jesus satisfied God's wrath, and only Jesus can satisfy the wrath of God on behalf of a sinner. If at the judgment you alone face God, apart from Jesus Christ, you will directly bear the full fury of God's wrath yourself. God will pour out his wrath on you, condemning you to eternal hell. This is because you have rejected Jesus as the only one who could have satisfied God's wrath for you, on your behalf. Whereas those of you who ask Jesus Christ to satisfy God's wrath on your behalf, those of you who accept Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for sin, wow, at the judgment, when you alone face God, God will not pour out his wrath on you. God will not condemn you to eternal hell. Why? Because Jesus has satisfied God's wrath on your behalf. Instead, for you, God will welcome you into the eternal heavens because he sees you just as he sees his Son Jesus, perfectly righteous, holy, and without sin. Christ has taken away your sin. Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God for you, so you do not have to ever experience his wrath, God's holy and righteous anger against sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin because Jesus is God. Only God is perfect, and Jesus is perfect because Jesus is God. so that when God the Father looks upon God the Son, he finds the satisfying sacrifice for sin. And God the Father pours his wrath on the Son because only God is worthy of God. Jesus has to be God in order to be the worthy sacrifice for God. Think of it this way. God was well pleased to accept Jesus as the worthy sacrifice for sin. And we must add this. Jesus must be God in order for Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. Only God has the power to raise the dead. And God raised Jesus from the dead so that everyone who believes in Jesus will one day also rise right up out of their grave and walk in perfect heavenly bodies right into the eternal home prepared for us by this same Lord Jesus. God the Son has conquered the grave. It took God to do that. This is why Jesus must be God. Eric Raymond summarizes this well when he writes, quote, "In short, Jesus had to be truly God so that he could satisfy God's wrath and secure for us true righteousness and life. The Redeemer had to be truly divine in order to satisfy and secure." End quote. As we continue in Galatians 4 next week, we will actually see what Jesus accomplished for those who have faith in him. Especially yesterday and today, a lot of weighty content has been covered. I encourage you again to get the podcast and listen attentively once more. Go to godisministry.org. I want to end with these words and marvelous words of Peter to Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. In Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And in verse 16, we read, "Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Peter is saying, "You, Jesus, are God." Join us on Monday for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.